Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special edition. This is a special report of the Hagman Report. I don't say that often. This is a very special report. And with me is a very special guest. Having a book that becomes a worldwide bestseller before it even exists on the market. That's Jonathan Kahn. And he wrote a book, and I have the book. I was so fortunate to get a copy of the advanced reader's copy, as well as the final draft of The Dragon's Prophecy. We're going to be talking about The Dragon's Prophecy. And again, it's a first book that became a global bestseller before it was even on the market. Now, it went on the market. It went for sale. It was released officially, however you want to say that, on September 3rd of this year. And I've got to say that there's no other book like it. When I read it and I reread it, because I had to go through it, it was information heavy. And then I would check my Bible and then go back to the book. And I'll tell you something. It captivated me like no other book captivated me. So I humbly requested, asked Jonathan Kahn to come on and talk about his book. Folks, you will be blessed by his book. You will be. I don't care what you have to do. If you have to go to a library, if you have to, take a loan at Barnes & Noble or whatever. I'm just kidding about that. But I mean, whatever you've got to do, you've got to read The Dragon's Prophecy, because it really ties current events together. In fact, Steve Quayle talks the things that Steve Quayle talks about. Even the first page really grabbed me. Because the question was asked, is there another realm that we're not seeing that exists out there that's guiding the current events in the physical? And, of course, you've heard Steve talking about that. You've heard me talk about that with others. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. So I don't want to take up too much. I don't want to take up any more of Jonathan Kahn's time. Now, before I get to him, however, I do want to acknowledge and thank the people who support this broadcast. Thank you so very much. And also thank the corporate sponsors that we have. The few that we have, but we they're good. They're very, very good sponsors, including ChuckDefense.com. And I always speak about this as well. You know, if you've ever wondered what happened to Chuck Norris, well, look no further. I saw a video that he made. I was surprised by his appearance, by his physique. He's in his 80s. He's still kicking and working out and staying active. What's even more shocking is that he's stronger. He can work out longer. And he has even... well, more energy left over to play with his grandchildren. And isn't that what life is all about? To have that quality of life. And that's what I'm talking about. But he was able to do this by making one change. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. Yeah, that's what it's about, right? His wife even started doing this one thing too, and she never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner, and she's got energy all day. Here's what I want you to do, folks. Go to chuckdefense.com/Hagman with two N's. That's chuckdefense.com/Hagman with two N's. He made a special video at that location. He made a special video that explains everything. So I want you to make sure you watch it by going to that website, chuckdefense.com/Hagman. Just click the link below in this video. It's going to change the way you think about your health. And once again, that's chuckdefense.com/Hagman. And it's in the description box below. Watch that video after this this show. You're not going to believe how simple the changes are. This one change that he made is. And remember, he's right now, Chuck Norris, 84. 84. I'm telling you, man. If I live that long, I hope I look and feel as good as that. Yet he's got more energy than I do. So he discovered he can create dramatic changes to his health by simply focusing on three things that sabotage our body as we age. So watch his method by clicking on the link in the description box below. And that is chuckdefense.com/Hagman, Hagman with two N's. All right. And again, thank you and thank them for your sponsorship of this program. I cannot I cannot possibly overstate the importance of The Dragon's Prophecy, the book written by Jonathan Cahn. Here it is right here. Folks, please, in order to understand the events of today, and especially what we're seeing on the streets all around us, the uprisings, the violence, the hatred for different classes of people, including and especially the Jewish people. It's hard to really wrap your mind around. Well, you can make sense of it. The Dragon's Prophecy, and folks, you can get this in a number of locations, including but not limited to Amazon. And I'll ask Jonathan Cahn exactly where we should go to get the book, and he'll explain all of that here. But with me right now, again, it's my pleasure to bring on Jonathan Cahn, a good friend of mine, good friend of the program, and I just so appreciate all he does. How you doing, sir?
Great, and great to be back with you. It's one of the favorite programs I do, and you're one of the, I'm truly, you're one of the favorite people I speak to. I'm always blessed.
Thanks. Yeah. you bless me, and you bless Eric, the tech, and the audience, and we're so thankful to have you with us. So, I mentioned at the beginning, this is your first book that became a global bestseller before it even was published. How does that work?
Well, I've never seen it work before. So the book has been so unique and different in that, first of all, I didn't plan on writing it. I was getting ready to write the next book, and I got interrupted by the Lord. I was actually in my car with my three sons, taking them to school, and I saw in my mind's eye a dragon, a red dragon. And I knew this was from Revelation, and the Lord was saying, with all that was happening in the world, you know, actually what was happening in the world was prophetic and gigantically so. So I started writing the book, The Dragon's Prophecy, and you know, I had not finished it. I mentioned it on one of the YouTube videos I did, and the thing, people started pre-ordering it. It didn't exist, and it became a global bestseller. Doug, I don't know how that happens. It went into the top 20 of all books in the world, and it didn't exist. it didn't. So I know this is the Lord, and there's so much behind this I'm writing about events, and events in the world are coming true based on as I'm writing it. And then I had to keep rewriting because it kept coming true. I've never had that happen before. And also, I've never had happen, so much warfare, which is what you'd expect with a book called The Dragon's Prophecy. Even like one example, at one point, I'm writing about the dragon in Revelation and the flood that comes out of his mouth to flood away God's people. And as I'm writing about the flood, a flood comes and makes our building, our headquarters, into an island. And then finally it goes down. And then the next day, another flood comes, not with a storm like the first one, but because of a freak water main breaking on our street. It recreates it. That goes down. A third flood. As I'm writing about the flood, the third. So finally it stopped when I moved on from writing about that. So, but that was the beginning, it is real. The enemy is real and the warfare is real and we're all actually dealing with it. So there were so many unique things about this book from the beginning to that. And then I begin writing it. And, the Dragon's Prophecy, it turns out I had no idea, but it turns out, the Chinese New Year, it's the year of the dragon. It turns out there's a comet that sweeps by Earth every about 70 years. It's this year, and it's called the Mother of Dragons Comet. It turns out this year, all over New York City, dragons started appearing, part of a promotion, but it was crazy. Year of the dragon, I know that this is for this hour and this is for God's time. And the thing is that, all the more when you get opposition, all the more there's a force that doesn't want God's people to get the word that you're writing. So I know it is for now. I know. And that's why the other thing is that we've never had so much so much like a groundswell. I've always been blessed by the Lord that these have all been bestsellers. But this one is like the people pre-ordering is about three times anything we've ever seen. So we've just never seen anything like it. So I know it is the Lord for this hour.
You know, I can relate, and this obviously I don't want to bring me into it, but I can relate to the warfare aspect of this. When you, I find that when you're over a target or you're dealing with something very, very special, anointed by God, I think a topic or a task, the blowback by the demonic realm, you've got to, you feel it. And I know the audience has been there too. I think most spiritually in tune Christians know exactly what you're talking about. So that's, wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing you didn't, thankfully I was going to give you another scenario, but flooding's bad enough. Okay. Yeah.
I could have done a chapter on earthquakes. I said, let me skip that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just have to say this, the first folks, again, this is, I'm going to say it was a joy to read, although it's not joyful. I mean, it's joyful if you are a Christian. Okay. To me, that's the way I look at it. But the first page should give you an idea. The first words on the first page. And that is, there's more to the world than what we see with our eyes. And we talk about this all of the time. And then from that one sentence, man, you go into all of that and you answer a lot of things and you're very convincing with scripture and current events and just how everything is put together. And I thought your other books, your many other books were like terrific, but this, I mean, they are. But this is mega terrific because you really put into words what a lot of people are asking and are very concerned about today. So go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but.
No.
There we are.
And that's right. And how this book is, I would say, different from other books. You know, I mean, all the books I've written are opening up mysteries that are taking place now and that we're all part of. This one, too. And things are happening right now. But on top of that, this is the only book I've ever written that fully opens up the dimension of end time prophecy. That thing, we're actually seeing things in the world that are literally connected to end time prophecy. And I'm very careful about that, but it's so real and so powerful. There's so many prophetic things happening. As you said just before, there is another realm behind the realm that we see and behind current events. There's a whole nother realm, spiritual realm, with there are ancient prophecies, entities, mysteries that are at work behind what we're seeing in the news. And you can't understand it until you see it. And so what the dragon's prophecy is doing, it's removing the veil that you see it and like, oh, that's why it's happening. And you may, and even not only what's happening, but what is going to happen and then how to be prepared. It's not only the opening of mysteries, it's also how to stand in view of what's coming and overcome.
It's informative and instructive, I'll say that. And you mentioned about being in the end times. Now, I'm going to act as if I haven't read what you wrote for the purpose of the listeners and viewers, but I just have to ask, unscripted here, do you believe with what we're saying, do you believe that we are in the end times from based on scripture?
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
As far as how long do we have, that's a whole nother issue.
That's right.
But, you know, the Bible is very clear, you know, and that, you know, the key sign is going to be if you're in a world and Israel has come back into that world, you know, that is, you know, from being gathered from all the ends of the earth, which has never happened before. The Bible says clear when that happens, you know, you're in the end times. Now there's more that comes from that, much more. And we're going to see it. What's happened in this last year is very much linked to end time prophecies. If you didn't, you know, pick it up with all that's been happening from Israel and then, you know, the outbreaks around the world. This is very, very, this is exactly really the scenario that the Bible gives. So yes, we are in the end times. And that's one of the reasons. That's why, you know, the subtitle of the dragon's prophecy, Israel, the dark resurrection and the end of days. The largest section is on the end of days.
In fact, it is. And it's, again, folks, it makes sense. If it makes sense to me, because I'm not the brightest bulb when it comes to scripture. Okay. That's why, Father McAllister had to, slide me around a little bit. But having said that, one of the issues let me ask. I'll pose this as a question: is it true that one of the mysteries in the book actually foretold the invasion of Israel by Hamas? Because that had seemed to be not just an event, but a precursor event. Expand on that if you don't mind.
Yeah. This is pretty amazing. You know, and one of the mysteries in the book actually did foretell, this is from the Bible, it's a mystery from the Bible, foretold that Israel would be attacked by a ground invasion. It would take the nation by surprise, catch it off guard. It would happen, the invasion would happen in the year 2023. It would happen in the autumn of that year. It would happen in October of 2023. It would happen on a Saturday specifically, a Sabbath day. It would happen on a Hebrew holiday, an ancient holiday from the book of Leviticus. It would lead to war. And I mean, putting it together, this ancient mystery ordained that this invasion would happen on the first Saturday of October of 2023. And it did. And beyond that, I was leading the congregation I lead, because I lead a congregation here in New Jersey, for those who don't know, called Beth Israel at the Jerusalem Center. And one of the services is Friday night and Sunday morning. Friday night, I'm led to share about a mystery from the Bible. And that mystery that I'm sharing that night is the mystery that is going to ordain the attack on Israel on October, on the first Saturday of October of 2023. The night I shared it was Friday night, October 6th. The next day it happened. So I am sharing this mystery. And I'm not saying I knew what was going to happen. I know when I'm sharing the mystery the Bible gives that the Lord led me to open, and it happens the next day. And the thing is, this mystery in the book may even enable us to know future events that are going to happen and when. Because this actually, even after I finished writing the manuscript, other events started happening that were according to this mystery. So this may even enable us to know that. And the Lord, listen, God's in control. And he says, before things happen, he tells his people. God wants us to know. So this is a very specific mystery.
You know, what you said right there, I think it's important for people to really understand. And I want the listeners and viewers to understand this. When I was reading through the book, and I read through it very carefully, like I said, I had with my Bible, and I did feel as if I was reading into or reading about the coming events. I know I slaughtered that, but you can almost, I don't want to say predict or prophesize, but you can almost see the pattern, the groundwork that's being laid by your words into future events. So that is something, folks, that please, again, it's a nugget that's available in the Dragon's Prophecy, and I would urge everyone to grab their copy. By the way, books by JonathanKahn.com, hopeoftheworld.org, two websites you need to know. They're going to be linked in the program description box at HagmanPI.com under today's title. Now, I'm going to ask you this. You do talk about the devil, the devil's names, and about his so about a number of different things. But what does the Hebrew origins, and this is something that Steve and I talked privately about, but what are some of the Hebrew origins of the devil's names reveal about his existence, the existence of the devil?
Yeah. The name, you know, in Hebrew, the enemy is called Hasatan, or we get the word Satan from this. Now, in Hebrew, it means the opposer, the opponent, the one who opposes everything, negates everything. The Bible reveals the mystery of evil, the origin of evil. You know, sometimes people have a problem with oh, the devil, that, you know, I can believe in God, but that, well, no, no, listen, evil is real and the devil is real. And you know, the Bible speaks about evil beginning with an angelic creature that turns against God. And so it's the one who turns against. So everything about his nature is turning, is against, opposing, negating, nullifying, to attack, to war against that which is created by God. That he seeks to war against God, but he can't destroy God. So he wars against, to destroy everything God does, his works, his plans, his purposes, his promise, his people. And so he is that. Now, when that word was translated into Greek, Satan in Hebrew, it became the word diabolos, which means the one who casts accusation. Again, your enemy, the adversary, the one who is accusing you. And from diabolos, you know, you have the root word, the root consonants, D-B-L, devil, you get devil. And so it all goes back to that. So this is the first part of the mystery. And, you know, there are things, you know, people, I don't care if you're secular, I don't care if you're an atheist, you cannot explain things like Adolf Hitler in the natural. You want to use what logically, rationally, you know, by economic, political, cultural, you know, ideological, that doesn't explain it. That there are things that are demonic, including what happened on October 7th. That wasn't, you know, ideology, that was demonic. And the answer is in the Bible. And the fact is that evil actually proves God, because, you know, the very fact that something is evil, it actually means that it goes against creation. It's not what God created. It actually is bearing witness.
Jonathan, you knocked your mic off there, I think. Yeah, there we go.
Are we back?
You're back. All right.
Okay. All right. I'll go back to where before I knock. See, that's the enemy, Doug. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you can't have evil without good. I mean, for instance, you can't have immorality without morality. You know, you can't have adultery without marriage. You can't have death without life. You can't. So it's actually bearing witness to God. So you have this creature that exists. But what is going to happen is this mystery is he's involved in history. And we actually, even what's happened in the last year, he is involved with it very specifically. And that's going to open up the next part of the mystery.
Okay. And that, you know, what you said there, you cannot have evil without good, or good without evil. Well, evil without good. I fully understand that. And I think a lot of people really inherently understand that as well. Those who say they don't or don't believe it, I think are being disingenuous intellectually and otherwise. But okay, so we have the mystery of the Jewish people, speaking about October 7th, the events therein. What is exactly, and you reference this, talk about this, write about this, that is, what's the mystery, the specific mystery of the Jewish people?
God created an entity, a nation that are called Israel and the Jewish people. And they exist not by natural means. They exist because God called them into existence. And they exist to fulfill the purposes of God. It's not because they're better, worse. They exist because God called them to fulfill his purposes. Bring into the world the purposes of God. They brought in through them came the word of God, the Bible, the ways, the knowledge of God, the gospel of God, the God, Messiah, into the world. And through them is going to come the kingdom of God through Israel. So Israel exists for that reason. And it exists to also be a witness to the existence of God. Because God said, you are my witnesses. And he said, as long as the sun and the moon and the stars, the created order is in existence, you will be in existence. You will not cease from being a nation from before me. So the existence of the Jewish people, it's a sign of the existence of God. There was a king, it said, who asked his minister, pastor, you know, give me one proof of God. The guy said the Jew. And so so you got that. You have the mystery. You have on one hand the mystery of evil and this twisted entity. And then on the other hand, you have Israel that exists for the purpose of God. So you have one that exists to destroy the purpose of God. You have the other that exists to bring forth the purpose of God. What does that mean? It means you're going to have a war.
Yes. Well, okay, does that explain then how Jewish history testifies to the existence of God or of the devil? Both.
Yeah. It's not only, that's the thing. It's not only that Jewish history testifies to God, it also testifies to that the enemy exists. Because what would we expect to happen? We would expect that there would be a war on earth, that the enemy would seek to destroy the Jewish people, because if he destroys the Jewish people, he destroys the evidence of God and the plans of God. So if he can destroy Israel, so we would expect, even if we were like from another planet, we'd expect that the Jewish people would become the most warred against people, opposed people, because the enemy is the opposer, slandered people, because the enemy is the slanderer, the most hated people, the most attacked people, the most persecuted people. That's exactly what's happened. And the thing is, you know, it's not natural. You know, it's not, there's no other nation that has gone through this. You know, the ancient times, this war was in ancient times. This war was in the medieval times. This war is in modern times. There's nothing like it. It doesn't end. It's unending. And even what happened, it shocked everybody. You know, what just happened in Israel, and what happened around the world, shocked it. But you know what? It was part of an ancient cosmic war. And, you know, you cannot explain, people try to explain it, you know, the communists hated the Jews because they said they were capitalists. Capitalists hated Jews, they said they were communists. You know, revolutionaries hated the Jews, they had their status quo. Status quo said they're revolutionary. You know, people hated the Jews, they said because they stick together to themselves. Then others hated them because they don't stick together. You know, they hated the Jews because they don't have a nation. They're different. They don't have a nation. Now, when they came back to Israel, they hated Jews because they have a nation. It's not natural. There's only one behind it. It is supernatural, and the Bible gives the answer. You see, it never dies because the enemy doesn't die. And it's, you know, the first anti-Semite wasn't a leader, an ideologue, a king. It was an angel. And that twisted angel never sleeps. And so this is the work of an angel, and a darkened angel. And that's why we are still seeing it. That's why it might lower its head for a moment, but it's always going to rear its head again. And so we are in the midst of a cosmic war.
You know, I've never seen such a visceral hatred. I don't know how else to describe it. Even some otherwise sane and rational people are extremely anti-Jew, saying, oh, my goodness, they own the banks, they own the world, they run the world, all the problems originate with the Jewish people. That's part of this, right? That's part of this war. People are fall. I mean, how do you explain? And again, how do you explain that?
It's not, listen, it. You know, Doug, you've been around for a bit. I've been around for a bit. And you know what? You know, we probably came right after or around that of the Holocaust. You had you had Hitler, Nazis, all that. And okay, that's never going to happen. Never happened again. Well, you know, it doesn't take long. All of a sudden, it's again. Then you have the terrorists. You have Hamas. You have Bin Laden. Then you have the woke. It doesn't matter. The only way you explain it doesn't ever stop. It doesn't matter what the Jewish people do, because it's not about the Jewish people. It's about God. And it's exactly what the Bible says. If the Jewish people are put on earth for the purposes of God, of course they're going to be the most attacked people. You know, the devil hates every person, everyone in the image of God. But he hates the Jewish people especially. So it's exactly what we would expect to happen for the Bible to be true. You know, there's a vision in the book of Zechariah where the devil is literally accusing, you know, the Jewish people. I mean, he's attacking them especially. And there's another one I know we'll get into from Revelation that has everything to do with it. The Bible is true, and God is real. The enemy is real, and we are watching it happen before our eyes.
Man, I'll tell you what, you're 100%. And folks, as you go through the Dragon's Prophecies, you read this, you're going to find just little, what I call little treasures or nuggets of information, of gold information that will really hits you between the eyes, and it will help you make sense of things. So I cannot speak any more highly about the Dragon's Prophecy, and I'm so thrilled to have my own copy here, and my other copies actually next to my on my nightstand. It's very well paged through. So now I'm going to drill down from here. The book of Revelation contains a vision of a dragon and a woman. That caught my attention. What exactly, what does that reveal to you?
Yeah. This is Revelation 12. And Doug, this is what I saw when I was in my car. I saw this, and that's what led me. The whole book began with that. This is the vision. It says, I saw a woman with 12 stars around her head. That's Israel, the 12 tribes, who gives birth to the one who will rule the world. That's Messiah. The only one who gave birth to Messiah was Israel. And so you got Israel on one side. And then on the other side, it says, then I saw a red dragon, and that red dragon made war against the woman. So this is written 2,000 years ago, before Hitler, before Hamas, it's all there. And so he waged war, and the word in Greek, it says he persecuted her. Well, think of that word. What is that word persecution attached to more than any other people? Persecuted her. And it says that he was enraged against her. You know, it's a Greek word called orgizo, the rage of the dragon. Well, you can see this in history. Everything we just talked about, that's the rage of the dragon. And it's an ongoing war, and it's all there in the Bible. And the thing is, it focuses on two specific periods. The first one is the beginning of the age when the woman gives birth, first century. And the second is the end of the age when it links up with the book of everything else in Revelation. So you got the beginning of the age, end of the age. What do they have in common? Well, what they have in common is Israel existed in the world as a nation. In this age, it only existed in the first century and now. And so what it's saying is when Israel comes back, the dragon's war, the enemy's war, is going to intensify against Israel, against the Jewish people, and others, but against that nation. So that's what we're going to start seeing. He's going to wage war more and more and more, and we're watching it. And again, this last year was, you just saw it. It was right there. So that's really pointing to where we are now.
Is that what you refer to with the birth of Israel as a nation? Is that what you, does that coincide with, or what, let me just open the question. What is the dragon's resurrection? Because again, you write about this, and I think this is an important piece of this whole mosaic.
Yeah, you know, this is an issue that, you know, you see all over the news. It's the issue, it's the wedge issue that's used against Israel and the United Nations on college campuses and all anti-Semites. And the thing is, you know, CNN will never tell you. You'll never see this, you know, on a regular media channel. They'll never tell you. And they don't know. But the thing is, here's the mystery. Remember, the enemy is an imitator. He imitates God. He says, I will be like God. You know, he wants to be like God. I will ascend to the throne. You know, the Antichrist is the imitation of the Christ. And so he's going to imitate God to try to undo and nullify, replace God, replace the works of God. So what is he going to do? What did God do on earth, you know, dramatically in modern times? He resurrected the nation of Israel. You know, the prophet Ezekiel speaks of the dry bones. And so he resurrects these, but he makes a nation that was dead become alive again. He brings Israel back into the world, an ancient nation. So what is the enemy going to do? He's going to do his own resurrection. And what's that? He's going to take another ancient nation and he's going to resurrect it in that same sense, historically. What nation? Well, he's the enemy. It's an enemy resurrection. So he's going to resurrect an enemy of Israel. And so who was the arch enemies of Israel in the Bible? Well, the ones who were the continual arch enemies were called in Hebrew, the Pilashtim, or in English, the Philistines. And this is David and Goliath. This is Saul. This is all, you know, on and on, and Samson, on and on and on. And so how could he resurrect them? Well, he would bring a people and conform them to their image, and he's already done it. And the people, and it's not about the people, we got to pray for all people. The people don't know what they're doing. They're being used, and they're victims of the enemy as well, but they're being used. And so that we hear the word Palestinian, and people think, okay, hear that, and that's used all over the world against Israel. But what does it actually mean? Palestinian literally means the Philistines. Literally, the Philistines, a people. Now, they were brought back into the world. And by the way, they didn't exist before. They were brought into the world as Israel comes back in the world. When God is resurrecting Israel, that's when this other resurrection begins, of the Philistine resurrection. You know, most of them don't speak English as their main language, and so they don't call themselves Palestinians. You know what the word is in Arabic? The word is pronounced, listen, Philistine or Philistini. That's the name. That's what we call Palestine. Palestinians, they're calling them Philistines. And so you know, the world talks about a Palestinian state. That means the Philistine state. You know, Palestinian flag, the Philistine flag. Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, that's the Philistine Liberation Organization. That's what we're dealing with. And it's, once you see it, it's so obvious. So they're brought back, you know, God resurrects Israel. The enemy resurrects the enemies of Israel to fight Israel, to delegitimize Israel, to cause the world to hate Israel, to want to destroy Israel. So that goes right into, it's the mystery of the Sea Peoples, because that's what they were. They were the Sea Peoples back then. You know, the interesting thing is, Doug, is when Israel came, the first time you have the word Israel in history outside of the Bible is in the writings of the pharaohs, the inscriptions. And Israel comes into existence about around 1300 BC or so. And you know when the first appearance of the Philistine comes? It comes like within 50 years of that, in the writings of the pharaohs, same thing. So Israel comes into the world and the Philistines come into the world as far as into history. Now, when Israel comes back, they come back together again. It was just as Israel began coming back with the first Zionist Congress in 1896 or 1897. The next year, the word Philistine in Arabic starts spreading through the Arabic world. And so everything that happens with Israel is paralleled with what happens in this resurrection of the Philistines, everything. And it's all about that. You have a people who are actually being conformed to the image of the ancient Philistines. And actually the enemy's using them to do to Israel exactly what the Philistines did to ancient Israel in the Bible.
Wow. Okay. So I believe you just explained, as you wrote, the mystery of the Sea Peoples, which you just discussed, right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Let's go right into another mystery, if you don't mind. What is the mystery? And this is from my notes, and forgive me if I mispronounce this. what's the mystery of the Pilochet?
Pilochet. It is the name of the place where the headquarters were of the Philistines, where they dwelt in the Bible. It's a region on the coast that was part, that was called, you know, in some of our Bibles, it will be called Philistia, the land or region of the Philistines. So that's where they were. That's where Goliath lived. That's where, you know, the Philistines lived when they were basically, a lot of evil came out of that in ancient times. And so you've got that called Pilochet. Now, the thing is this, is where is it today? Does it exist? Well, it does exist. And you know where it is, you know, the ancient Philistia or Pilochet, you know where it is, land of the Philistines. Today, it has a new name. It is called the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip is the land of the Philistines. In fact, Gaza was one of the chief cities of the Philistines, which again, the word Palestinian means Philistine. And the thing is, I mean, it's like they did not plan this. They didn't plan this mystery out. It's amazing how this happened because, you know, the Gaza Strip actually didn't even exist. It came into existence. You know when it came into existence? It was resurrected or came into existence in the year 1948, the same exact year that Israel came into existence. So Israel is resurrected, and the Philistia, ancient Philistia, is resurrected at the same moment. And at that moment that the Jewish people, the Israelites, are returning to the land of Israel, the people called Philistines are returning to the land of the Philistines. So everything is being set in place, put in motion, for a mystery. It's a setup. where the enemy's going to do something. But it's amazing because they didn't plan it. I mean, and it's all just happened.
And that is one thing I got out of the dragon's prophecy is, for as much as people say, well, Israel, modern day Israel, is a man-made creation, it very well might be to a limited extent, but you cannot have the events like you just stated. You can't write about them without knowing that this is much bigger than anything man could possibly plan. And that, folks, if nothing else, if you get nothing else, understand that this is the other realm, the spiritual realm, the war, Jonathan Cahn is talking about. And folks, please, books by jonathancahn.com, hopeoftheworld.org. But regardless of where you go, get yourself a copy of this book. You will not be sorry. And if you get this book and for some reason are disappointed, I will buy it back from you personally. and I'm serious about that. I ordered a copy for Jack and Beth. I hope you got yours. I know they're watching along with the congregation, and I want to welcome them. Okay. 1 second here. Let me just take this very quick break. We're talking, of course, with Jonathan Cahn, folks. Again, I thank you for supporting this platform, this broadcast as well. We can have quality guests on like Jonathan Cahn. I know he's a very busy man, so I don't want to take too much time away from him. But I want to mention 3 harmful foods. Folks, you know I've been talking about this. We live in the most advanced era in human history. There have never been more medical breakthroughs than there are right now. Why are millions of Americans big, overweight, you know, unhealthy? Well, according to U.S. Board Certified Physician Expert Nutritionist Dr. Amy Lee, one of the main reasons is 3 harmful foods. Simple as that. They're passed off as health foods. It's all over the country. And just wait until you hear this real quick. Because these foods can cause weight gain, clog your digestive tract, deplete your energy, wreck your skin, they are banned in other countries. Somebody came over from overseas and said, did you know such and such is bad? Yeah, I did. Okay, but they're still legal here in the U.S., and it's time someone shined a light on what they are. Dr. Amy Lee does just that while explaining how the side effects from these foods are wreaking havoc on the health of millions of Americans. The great news, of course, is that it's easy to stop and reverse this damage by simply learning which foods to avoid and how to spot them. And by doing so, you can experience easier weight loss, smooth digestion, and vibrant energy. I talk about this all the time, and folks, I want you to go to 3 harmfulfoods.com/Hagman. Number 3 harmfulfoods.com/Hagman. It's in the program description box below. Click on that, watch the video. And after years of extensive study, Dr. Lee put together a revealing video. It's totally free to you, the public. So you never get duped by these foods again. Again, find out all you need to know. 3harmfulfoods.com/Hagman. 2 N's on Hagman. And my guest right now is Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, the author of The Dragon's Prophecy, Israel, the Dark Resurrection, and the End of Days. If that title doesn't get you, I don't know what will. Now, you write that the behind October 7th exists an ancient mystery. We kind of danced around, touched on that, or you did touched on that. But what is that mystery?
Well, it's in the book, but I'll give a little taste of it. And that is that, you know, the Bible actually, well, it tells you that in ancient times, what did the Philistines do? They actually invaded Israel from the Gaza Strip, and they would invade Israeli towns, and they would brutalize them, and they would bring back Israelites back as hostages to Gaza. So look what happened on October 7th. This is the replaying of it. You know, everything is replaying, and the enemy is, the dragon is using it to touch the whole world, actually even to bring the world, trying to get it into a world war as well. But it's all the ancient mystery. This is, I mean, once you see it, it's like, whoa, yes. And the other thing is, the Bible actually gives the exact place where the Israelites would be attacked by the Philistines, where they come in from the Gaza Strip. Where would they attack? Well, it gives, in the book, I show how it pinpoints this exact convergence, this land, this little land area. It was the land area where they had that music festival and where they had those kibbutzes. It's the exact same land. So they were doing what happened on that day is exactly what happened in the Bible. And so it's being replayed before our eyes as brought to you by the enemy.
Man, yes. And when I read that, I was very surprised. Look, I think I know the Bible, but you know what? Leave it to Jonathan Cahn to really lay this all out. Now, what about the city itself, the city of Gaza? That's what you're referencing, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There's a mystery behind that as well, an ancient mystery connected to it, which I think you just described. Is that?
Well, you have the Gaza Strip, but then you actually have Gaza, the city. Okay. Well, that's all part of it, too. In the Gaza is in the Bible as a city, and Gaza was the center of all sorts of evil that would come against Israel. So it's again replaying. And the thing is that Gaza was the place where they would take the hostages. And, you know, the ancient prophets in the Bible actually condemn Gaza over the sin of taking Israelis hostage. And so this is happening. And it's not like Hamas is reading the Bible and trying to do it. It's the enemy that's doing this. And so and I'll tell you this, you know, there's a story we all learned as children. I mean, we know it to this day. And it actually holds the mystery of this day of what happened. It's the story of Samson. And I won't go into the detail except to say this. Just think about it. Samson is an Israelite. He is taken captive, hostage by the Philistines. He's mutilated. He's taken to Gaza. They put him on display in Gaza. That also happened in this. And they actually have a celebration. The Bible says that you know, it was a day of joy in Hebrew, Simcha. They had a festival, and it was a day of Simcha. Well, amazing. Well, what if, you know, at the end of that, Samson, he brings down the Temple of Dagon, and it says about 5,000 Philistines were struck down. What if there was revenge for that? And not that they know it, but the devil knows it. What would it be? It would be that Gazans would come and attack Israel. And so they did on October 7th. Well, and as Samson brought that down on the Philistines on the day of their festivity, which in the Bible, the word is Simcha. Do you know what day that the Gazans attacked Israel? It was called the day of Simcha, Simcha Torah, the day of a Hebrew holiday that was, had the same word as what the Philistines were celebrating. So it's like reverse, it's revenge. And you know how many, Gazans first came in to attack Israel?
No, I know.
The IDF put their estimate. They said about 5,000, the same exact phrase used in Samson in the book of Judges, about five. It's the return of the 5,000 Gazans.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Again, you cannot. I mean, this is divine to me. This is divinely inspired writing. Wow. Folks, if your mind's not blown already, just wait because it gets better. Again, you need to read The Dragon's Prophecy. Please, folks, make it a worldwide bestseller for the next year because you need that. You really need this information. Just when you thought, you could read it on screen, just when you thought Jonathan Cahn's books couldn't get more, you know, exciting, relevant and such, here it is, man, bada bing, bada bang. Now, I'm going to move to the 20th century because there's a reference to Adolf Hitler, okay? Everybody, yes. And man, I am so, by the way, I'm a separate thing. I'm kind of sick of hearing Hitler references, but this one is extremely relevant to, contrary to the throw around use of Hitler, this is extremely relevant. What does Adolf Hitler have to do with all of this?
Yeah. Yeah, the amazing thing is, listen, if this is a war from the enemy, and the enemy does not die, he raises up people, you know, they rise, they fall, they die, and then he raises up the next and the next and the next. So there's this continuum, and it's kind of, you'd expect the passing of the torch or the satanic mantle. Well, amazing thing is that, you know, Adolf Hitler actually, in a sense, discipled he employed a man called al-Husseini, who was also known as the Mufti. And he was in Germany. He was an Arab who hated the Jews. He was in Germany. He broadcast on Radio Berlin during the war for Hitler. He wanted to bring the Holocaust to Israel. And he called the he called for the Arabs to kill the Jews. Well, after the war, he was going to be put on trial at Nuremberg, but he escaped, went to Egypt. In Egypt, he became the father of of Palestinian nationalism, a guy who was employed by Adolf Hitler. So he got the hand of Adolf Hitler in this, and he ends up, he comes into contact with a teenager, an Egyptian teenager who he trains and disciples and mentors to become the next. And the teenager's name was Yasser Arafat, who becomes the head of the Palestinians. So you have a link from Hitler right to this. And now there's but that's not all. Hitler also, funded an organization. He supported it. He trained it. They helped, the Nazis helped this organization. This organization actually translated Hitler's works into Arabic. And the organization was called the Muslim Brotherhood. Hitler was behind it, was sponsoring it. And the Muslim Brotherhood, from the Muslim Brotherhood came Hamas. Hamas is part of the Muslim Brotherhood, which was supported by Hitler. And so you got when they came out with their charter, their founding charter, it's basically the words of Adolf Hitler. And the thing is, let me just tell you this. I didn't even put in the book, but it's all part of the mystery. Hitler, the one who was put in charge Heinrich Himmler in charge of the Holocaust. Heinrich Himmler was over it. And he put Himmler in charge of all the conquered territories, basically to begin the Holocaust. The day that he put him in charge, you know what the day was? The day was October 7th.
Yep.
Do you know when Heinrich Himmler was born? October 7th.
Yep.
So this mystery of evil continues. The enemy is all behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just have to tell folks, that's one thing that the late Russ Dizdar and I spoke about was the Hitler Nazi roots of, exactly what Jonathan Cahn was talking about now and also has written about. Very, very, very prescient to what we're talking about. So,
yeah.
Okay, now here we are, almost a year out from the initial October 7th invasion. People are looking and saying, well, Israel is just devastating Gaza. They're going too far. They're bombing. They're destroying everything. Hamas, obviously, folks, you know what they're doing. They're hiding in hospitals and human shields and such. But what does the Bible say that's going to happen to Gaza based on the scripture?
Yeah, this actually, the Bible speaks about this exactly. It says basically Gaza is going to be judged. This is through, you can see this in scripture. Actually, the righteous kings of Israel warred against the Philistines in Gaza. It says that fire will come upon Gaza. This is exactly because of what it did. And it's actually the prophet who says, because of you, what you did to Israel, and you took my people captive and hostage, there's going to be fire bringing you down. It's going to be destruction. Well, that's what it says. And in fact, let me move even jump ahead, Doug, and that is that to Hamas, which is hiding out in Gaza. That's their headquarters. Do you know that Hamas is actually in the Bible? Yeah. Hamas is an Arabic word, but it's also a Hebrew word. In Arabic, it means the Islamic Resistance Movement. In Hebrew, Hamas means evil, death, and destruction. And it actually appears in the Bible. When you look in the Bible, it's amazing because it says there are scriptures like, Lord, save me from the man of Hamas. Or another one says, Hamas, the prophet says, Hamas has risen up as a rod of evil in the land. And another one says, Hamas fills the city and the land is filled with bloodshed, like October 7th. How Hamas hides in the tunnels?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it says in the Bible, it says Hamas dwells in the dark places of the earth. And then it says in one of the prophets, it says to Israel in Ezekiel, it says rid Hamas from the land. And then in Isaiah, when it talks about the kingdom of Messiah on earth, it gives a promise to Israel. And it says, in that day, Hamas shall no longer be heard in your land.
Okay. And Is that how, or am I jumping ahead? Is that how the Hamas invasion of Israel starts their demise, or is connect? How is Hamas?
Yeah.
Is that how Hamas is connected to the Book of Revelation by definition as well as the activities?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. They're actually here's the amazing thing. You look in the book of Revelation, it says the dragon warred against the woman, Israel. It says, how did he do it? It says he spewed a flood out of his mouth, a flood against the woman, and to flood her away. Well, the amazing thing is, you know, what happened to Israel on October 7th, you know that Hamas gave it a code name. You know what they called it? They called it the operation. They called it the Tufan in Arabic. You know what Tufan means? Tufan means the flood. Everything you just saw was the dragon's flood against his people. And they didn't even know what they were doing. They called it by the very name from the book of Revelation.
Wow. Okay. And again, folks, just think about this. As you listen to this, think about this and comprehend the biblical implications of, well, I guess I could say the biblical implications or the implications about how the Bible is is really playing out today. Now you write about too, October 7th connected to the principle of satanic desecration, and also the connection to the Sabbath, for example.
Yes.
If you want to dig a little bit deeper there, please, I'd like to.
I'll cover a number of things with this. No, first of all, you know, think about it. You know, like once you pull away the veil and you look at the spiritual, everything makes sense. What does the enemy do? The enemy is a desecrator. He defiles the things of God. If something's holy, he's going to defile it. Well, the amazing thing is October 7th was not one. It was actually three holy days of God, three. So it's almost like he couldn't resist desecrating it. And I'll just give a little taste of this. One is that, you know, it was the Sabbath. And, you know, so he desecrates them on the Sabbath, the most holy day of peace. He takes away their peace. And you know what Israel calls that, calls October 7th today? In Hebrew, you translate it, they call it the Black Sabbath. The Black Sabbath, because that Black Sabbath is actually linked to the devil. There was another holiday that's called, as I alluded to, Simchat Torah, Day of Joy. You know what they do on that? It's a day of rejoicing. They go out there to go out in the streets and dance and sing and clap. And they specifically hand out candy to others on that day. Well, you know what happened? The enemy took the day of joy. He made it into the day of sorrow. He took away their joy. But you know what? The enemies of Israel, they celebrated. It was the devil's holiday. Because on that day in Gaza, in the West Bank, in the Arabic world where they hated Israel, they went out into the streets and they danced and they clapped and they sang and they celebrated, you know, Jewish blood. And all throughout that world, they handed out candy. So they actually celebrated what Israel was to celebrate, but it was now celebrating death. And it was the enemy twisting everything. So everything is twisted. That's what he does. And it's even going to lead to the mystery. I said the three, but it's going to lead to another, the mystery of the Jubilee, because that's the mystery that actually is one of the mysteries that actually gives you the exact timing of prophetic events.
If you don't mind, go right into that, because the way the book is laid out, again, I commend your writing. The way the book is laid out, it really takes you on a journey in the way I read it. So let's talk about the Jubilee and mystery, it is, and just go ahead from there.
Yeah. There's a mystery that you know. Keep in mind, you know, every 50th year was the Jubilee, and that was a term of year of restoration. If you lost your land, you got it back in the year of Jubilee, the 50th year. You return. Well, the amazing thing is, you know, there's no people who have so dramatically lost their land as the Jewish people for 2,000 years. But when God restored them to the land, he did it through the mystery of the Jubilee, through the amazing thing. I won't go into a lot of detail, just give a little taste. And that is, in the year 1867, For the first time, the land of Israel under Ottoman Turkish occupation, the Sultan releases the land to be purchased. And so now Jewish people can start redeeming the land. And much more happens on that year. Go 50 years later, Jubilee, 50 years later. What year? It takes you to the year 1917. Anything happen? 1917, those who occupied the land flee the land. That's what happens in the Jubilee. The Turks flee the land and it's released. And the British Empire takes the land and issues the Balfour Declaration, which says the land is promised shall go to the back to the Jewish people, back to the original owners. That's Jubilee. But they never got Jerusalem. That's their holy city. But count 50 years later, and where does it take you? It takes you to the year 1967. Anything happened? 1967?
Yep.
Six-day war?
Yep.
And God restores Jerusalem, the ancestral inheritance of Israel, to the Jewish people. First time. It has. By the way, you should rejoice because that has to happen for Jesus to come back. He's coming back there. So that happens. But the one thing, you know, in the Jubilee, you don't just get the land. You get the right. You get the legal right and recognition. This is your land. But the world refused that. There was not one nation that would do that. They refused it about Jerusalem until, count 50 years. It takes you to the year 2017. Anything happen? 2017, what happens is, for the first time, it's broken. For the first time, America, a world power, issues the Jerusalem Declaration that declares Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel. First time since ancient times. And so even that, everything happens accordingly. But we got to now join this to the mystery of the dragon. Remember, I said the dragon is an imitator. Yes. And the dragon is a desecrator. So he's going to take the Jubilee of God, twist it, turn it around. So instead of being a blessing, it's going to become a calamity to Israel. And so what happens? There's one event, not a good event. It was a calamity. And it was actually the greatest calamity that ever happened to Israel in modern times. And it was up until now. Now another one happened. It's called the Yom Kippur War. It happened in 1973, and Israel was taken by surprise, caught off guard by a ground invasion. It was almost destroyed. Almost destroyed. They miraculously, God turned it around. But to this day, they were shaken by this to this day. Well, the enemy takes that calamity, and he then counts 50 years to create his own Jubilee. And do you know, where does that take you? 1973, it takes you to the year 2023 is going to be the devil's Jubilee. What happened? When did the Yom Kippur War take place? In October. So it's going to happen in October. When? It happened on a Saturday. So it's going to happen on a Saturday. When? It happened on a Hebrew holy day from Leviticus. So October 7th is going to happen on a Hebrew holy day from Leviticus. It happened. It took Israel by surprise. So it's going to take Israel by surprise. It led to war. So it leads to war. And on top of it, you know, put it all together. The Yom Kippur War, the invasion happened on the first Saturday of October, 1973. Well, the devil counts to the first Saturday of October, 2023. And that falls on October 7th. It was the devil's Jubilee. And this is what I mean. When you remove the veil, this is telling us, and this mystery again hasn't stopped. It tells that not only what has happened, what is going to happen, this may enable us to know what is going to happen and exactly when it will happen.
And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, you can be part of this journey into not just the history, but the present and the future by getting your own copy of Jonathan Cahn's best-selling book. There it is right there on the screen, The Dragon's Prophecy. This has got to be one of the most valuable books in my library with respect to biblical prophecy, Israel in the days in which we find ourselves. Just so I'm not screwing anything up, could you tell people, please tell people where to get this book? I don't want to mislead
you
anyone.
Are, by the way, Doug, I have to say, you are such a blessing, such a kind, wonderful man. I so love it, doing it with you. Okay, yeah, the Dragon's Prophecy is literally available everywhere. You can get it. It just came out. So, I mean, you can get it everywhere. You can get it online right now on Amazon or wherever you get book Christian books, or what's up, Walmart even has it. Barnes & Noble, I heard Target has it. It's everywhere. If there's a store near you, Barnes & Noble, it has it. And so, but get it. Don't just get it for you. Get it for people in your life who need to know where we are, you know, what's coming, and ultimately about what to do and how to stand. So it's literally everywhere.
And thank you for that. Again, I just did not want to mess anything up. And you know, my sentiment is the same as you. I mean, likewise. It's like a couple of friends talking over a cup of coffee. I just love this. Okay, so, you know, as I started out, it feels... And I think spiritually, those who are spiritually intuitive can feel that we're living in the end of days. You said earlier that we're seeing them now. Yes, we are. That brings me to another issue. In the apocalyptic times, or in the apocalypse, what are the colors of the apocalypse? I'll just toss that question out there.
Yeah.
You understand what that means. Go ahead.
Yeah. The you know, in the book of Revelation, I mean, it's filled with imagery, and it actually gives you the colors of the apocalypse. And they are the colors of the four horsemen, which represents these four calamities on the earth. Ultimately, it all converges on Israel, you know, the entire apocalypse. So you've got the four horses. The first horse is white, says for conquering. Second horse is red, for war. The third horse is black, the black horse for famine and want. And the last horse is green, pale green, which is for death. So you got these four horses. Now, the amazing thing, Doug, is not just what happened in Israel, but what's happened all around the world. Because right after that, all these outbreaks of hatred for Israel break out, which the Bible says this is all in line with biblical prophecy. And wherever it breaks out, the colors of the apocalypse start appearing. How? Well, they're waving these banners and waving these flags. And the flag they're waving is the flag, the Palestinian flag, or the Philistine flag. And what are the colors? The colors are, the flag are white for the white horse, red for the red horse, black for the black horse, and green for the green horse. The colors of the apocalypse on that flag of the resurrected Philistines. And it's not just them. The amazing thing is that when you look in the world and you see other nations, if they have these four colors, it marks them as enemies set against the nation of Israel, the colors of the apocalypse.
Folks, I want you to think about that. I have a little post-it that I put on the page of the book, because my mom would slap my hand if I turned down the dog ear of the page or put the book down and break the spine. So I want you to remember that and tell other people. Look at the flag, look at the colors of the apocalypse, and there you go. Now, we touched on this about the book of Ezekiel foretelling a coming invasion of Israel. That might be the next big prophetic event. Do you want to drill down more on that?
Because there's
a surprising connection here to that prophecy.
Yeah.
Tell what that is. Go ahead.
Yeah, the prophet Ezekiel gives a prophecy of a mass invasion of Israel that's going to happen in the last days. It's never happened before. It happens after Israel's come back to the world. It's unwalled villages. It's now. And so it may very likely be the next great colossal event. And the thing is, the amazing thing, what I found, first of all, he gives, you know, the names of the nations by the peoples, and we can identify them, certainly a good amount of them, with accuracy. There are some debates over some, but it's clear there's some things that are clear. And for instance, Sudan is part of it. Libya, North Africa, is part of it. Turkey is part of that thing. And Iran is part of it. You know, Russia is one of the interesting things of questions with it, but it's very interesting about that as well. So the thing is this. Here's what I found. Each one of them, I mean, it says they're going to take part in an invasion of Israel. That's still to come. But what we just saw was the first major invasion of Israel in half a century. You know, the Jubilee mystery. But the thing is, what I saw was Sudan, or I'll put it in the language of Ezekiel, Cush actually took part in that invasion. They were behind it. They supplied it. All that stuff. Put in the prophecy, one called Put, also Libya was also part of it. Togarma in Ezekiel's prophecy was also part of October 7th. And Persia, Iran was definitely part of it. So for the first time ever in history, the nations of Ezekiel actually took part in an attack, an invasion of Israel ever. We crossed a prophetic line. And by the way, we'll get to another. That wasn't the only one. We have just crossed an unprecedented line of biblical end time prophecy, and that's for real. And you can take that home with you. It's amazing, but it's true.
Which is? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. Okay. Because I was thinking ahead here. Does the death of the unexpected, is there a mystery behind the unexpected death of the Iranian president? I was kind of thinking, as you were talking, I was thinking about current events and how you put everything together. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me set the stage with that, because one of the things that the book reveals are the entities, the mysteries, entities behind everything that's actually happening, determining what's happening. And to understand what you're asking, which is yes, the answer is yes, is there's a mystery of something called the Tsar-Paras. And the Tsar-Paras is mentioned in the Bible. It's an ancient enemy, or it is an enemy, it's an ancient entity, that the mission is to destroy the Jewish people. And, well, basically, attack Israel, stop the purposes of God for Israel, and stop the purpose of God concerning the end times for Israel. And so you've got this entity to do that. Now, what does it mean? The word Tsar means master, ruler, leader, or general. And the word Paras, what does that mean? Paras means Iran. Iran. So literally it's saying there's an entity that's obsessed with destroying Israel, and it is behind Iran. So what is it? What does that mean? It means it's a revelation that when Israel comes back into the world, it's going to kick in this entity. It took a little time, but then it happened. All of a sudden, Iran, the Bible said it in Ezekiel. The Bible is implicit in Daniel that Iran is going to turn, and it's going to turn against Israel. Well, it happened in 1979. And so if this entity that's obsessed with destroying Israel is behind Iran, according to the Bible, then what would we expect to happen at Iran? Iran is going to become obsessed with destroying Israel. And that's exactly what happened. Iran, no accident, that Iran has become the arch enemy of Israel in the world today. But the Bible, they foretold it. And so it's driven to destroy Israel. And that's why, listen, you have all those missiles, Hezbollah, it's in the news today, could bring a world war. Who's behind that? Iran's behind it. Who's behind Iran? The Tsar-Paras, a demonic entity to destroy Israel. The Houthis, who's behind them? Iran. October 7th. You know, who's behind that? Gaza. Who's behind that? Hamas. And behind Hamas was Iran, and behind Iran was the Tsar-Paras, and behind the Tsar-Paras was the dragon. So it's all there. And the amazing thing is, on top of that, here's the other line. I said the one line was that. Here's the other prophetic line. Ezekiel says that in the last days, Iran will actually attack Israel. Well, they've never done that before. Directly, not directly. Until now, until this spring, it happened. We crossed another line. Actually, Iran literally sent hundreds of missiles and drones to attack, bring destruction on Israel. So this is the second major prophetic line. And Israel attacks, struck back directly, Iran directly the same way. But the Bible reveals another entity. And this one's very different. This entity can be called the Tsar Yisrael, the general of Israel. And who is it? It's an angelic being. And the name of this being translates to who is like God. Or in Hebrew, you say it, me, Michael, or in English, we call him Michael, Michael. So what it's saying is there is a protector of Israel. So as you have the attacker from Iran, you have a protector. And so Michael is the one protecting Israel. And I have no doubt, you know, when all those hundreds of missiles came, you know, 99% of them never made it. And it's not just technology. I have no doubt that the Tsar Yisrael was in that. So you've got, it says that Michael or the Tsar Yisrael battles the Tsar Paras of Iran. So they're literally battling each other. And so what that's happening in the heavenlies. So it's revealing to you, it's determining that the two nations, Iran and Israel, are going to be a battle on earth. It all goes back to the heavenlies. And the other thing is now to your question of the, you know, that the Iranian president. Well, the Iranian president was, the president of Iran was named, he was named Ebrahim Raisi. The name, he was Abraham, is named after Abraham. He's named after the father of the Jewish people that he's trying to destroy. And Abraham, that signals the covenant that God made with Abraham, that if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. Whatever you do will come back. And that's a word for all of us. Listen, don't curse Israel, bless Israel. God keeps his word. So what did he do? You know, the Bible says that Israel's the apple of God's eye. If you touch it, you're touching the apple of God's eye. So he sent this guy, Ebrahim Raisi, president of Iran, sent forth all these hundreds of missiles to strike Israel. He was trying to touch the apple of God's eye. You know what happened, Doug? About 30 days later, he was struck down dead right after.
Yep.
And you know what? He also, at the same moment, he not only sent those missiles, he issued a threat that went throughout the headlines that said he threatened to annihilate the nation of Israel. He said there'll be nothing left. Annihilate. He will annihilate Israel. You know what? Israel is the nation God put there. You cannot annihilate. You know, that's blasphemy. You're gonna destroy God's nation. That's blasphemy. Well, you know, that weekend, the day before he was struck down, it was the Sabbath. And all around Israel and all around the world, there's an appointed word. And they open up the scrolls and read it. You know what the appointed word was? It ended with, the man who blasphemes, who says the blasphemy, shall be struck down. The next day he was struck down. And you know what else, Doug? That when, you know, in Ezekiel, God says, the nations that come and strike Israel, come down. I'm going to bring them against the mountains. They're going to fall on the mountains. Well, you know, the first leader of a nation that Ezekiel actually mentioned to attack Israel, that actually attacked Israel, was this guy. And you know what happened? He was in his helicopter, and he was brought down against the mountains. He fell upon the mountains.
Wow. Folks, talking with Jonathan Kahn, the book, Get It Now, The Dragon's Prophecy. And make sure it goes to the moon in terms of sales, because what's in here, I think is, again, perhaps one of the greatest revealings of current events. And speaking of that, you make so many different connections, including, and I'm going to toss this out, the Temple Mount, October 7th, the Antichrist, the five red cows, the secret of the mount. And I'm going to toss one more out after that. You also write that behind it, 9/11 was a Temple Mount. You got to explain that to me. And yeah. Also, what is the King Solomon's secret? So there's like a kind of a compendium of questions there.
Yes.
So
good. Go
ahead.
Yeah, if you don't realize, if you're watching, we're trying to get in as much as we can, you know, in the time. We can only touch on things that are in the book, but we want you to get that. Yeah, so the first thing is, yeah, the amazing thing, listen, the Temple Mount is the ground zero of end time prophecy. That's where it's all going to happen. The temple's going to be built. That's where the Antichrist is going to be. He's going to defile it, declare himself God there. That's where Messiah is going to come to. That's where he's going to reign from. So the enemy, the dragon, is going to do everything to stop that. He's going to control that mount. And that's what's happened. You know what? Right now, Jewish people are not allowed to go on that mountain and pray or observe anything of God. That was the place where they were supposed to. So the enemy is like he has a control on that mount. Well, if anything would threaten that control, all hell would break loose. The enemy would go crazy. The dragon would go crazy. Well, what people don't know, a little secret, it actually happened. About months before everything happened in Israel, the strike, the invasion, something happened on the Temple Mount. And there was a rumor that Jewish people were going to celebrate Passover on the Mount after thousands of years. And so all hell broke loose on the Mount. Everything went crazy on the Mount. And it was right then, because of that, the enemy struck back. In fact, Hamas was used. They issued a threat and they promised there was going to be revenge for Israel. Well, you know, the dragon's revenge came on October 7th. That was all about the Temple Mount and prophecy. By the way, even Hamas admitted it. They said afterwards, they said, we did it because of the Mount. Because of, you know, it was the enemy talking. And he said, even because of the five cows, the red heifers, he said that they even mentioned that. Because that's a threat that the temple's coming back. And so it was all behind it all was the Temple Mount prophecy, Antichrist, the war over that mount. And Hamas even called their invasion, not just the flood, they called it, they linked it to the Temple Mount. They gave it a name that matched the Temple Mount. And by the way, not only that, 9-11, I can't go through why, but not it's in the book, but 9-11, behind 9-11 was also the Temple Mount, was also this mystery of prophecy. And by the way, you know, there's one day of the Hebrew year where the Jewish people read the account of Solomon building the temple on that mount and dedicating it. It's on a holiday. And so all around Israel, they're reading about the building of the temple on the mount. Well, that would threaten the dragon. That would threaten the enemy. You know what day that fell on in that year? It fell on October 7th. So they're reading about the building of the temple and Solomon and all that. And at the same, the dragon goes crazy and he strikes. It's all about prophecy.
Again, folks, if you want to get the full scope of what, the full scope of what Jonathan Cahn is talking about, you've got to get the Dragon's Prophecy. I cannot recommend this any more, any higher than I'm doing right now. This wave, as we kind of go toward the end here, the wave of anti-Israel, anti-Jewish rage that is sweeping all across the country, in America. This is part of the mystery. I believe that. You can explain that as well as where this all is leading to, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Well, this is, first of all, the Bible says this is going to happen. You know, after Israel, this happened, you'd expect the world to be so sympathetic for Israel. But what happened, the amazing thing is all over the world, these anti-Israel hate demonstrations break out all over, not only in the Arab world or the Muslim world, but in Europe, in America, on Harvard campus, and they're chanting, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. That's chanting the destruction of Israel. And they're chanting death to Israel. And so, you know, it makes no sense, but it does make sense spiritually, because the Bible says it was almost like a spiritual blood frenzy. You know, there was Jewish blood, and so the spiritual the demonic realm goes crazy. And so they are chanting that, and the Bible says that what's going to happen in the last days? You know, there's a vision of the dragon in Revelation where the spirits come out of its mouth and spread through the whole world and get the whole world enraged with Israel, because he brings them to Armageddon. They're going to try to destroy Israel. Well, you know, it's happening. You say, well, how could that ever happen? How could the world come against this little nation size? It's New Jersey size, you know. Well, that doesn't make it. Well, listen, you saw a shadow of it. That was the most widespread outbreak of anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic hatred that has ever been in human history. You know, the invasion on Israel was the worst day in Jewish history since the Holocaust. That outbreak all over the world. And again, in the West, in America, even in the Democratic Party now, you know, it was a sign. You saw a foreshadow of what's going to come. It's the rage of the dragon. Remember from that vision? It's the dragon's rage against the woman. And notice, you see the fingerprints of the dragon, not only in the colors of the apocalypse, which were that mystery, which are all there, but also they were that chant. Where did they get that chant from? You know where it comes from? It comes from the Bible. Because the enemy twisted the word of God, which he does, and he made it into that chant. The word of God, God promises the land to Israel. And he says, from the river to the sea, again and over and over, from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea, I've given it to you. The enemy takes the same thing, twists it around to destroy Israel. This is all the enemy. We are living in the very days that God said. We're watching it happen. And Doug, it's probably good. Well, I'll tell you this, that the book, the last part of the book, is bringing it home to what do? Because, you know, there is a war. That war is not just against Israel. It says he made the dragon warred against the rest of her children. Who are they? They're you. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are the rest of Israel. You are born again, a child of Israel. And so the dragon wars against you, and he's going to war as he wars against Israel in the last days. He wars against Israel physically to destroy them. He's warring against the church spiritually to destroy it. You got a physical Israel, you got a spiritual Israel. The war is going to increase in both types. So we have to be ready for this. So the last part of the book is, how do we get ready? What do we need to know? How do we know his strategy? Because, by the way, it's not only that. I'm sure there are people who are watching this. Not only maybe you're not Jewish and maybe you're not born again believer, but you're in the image of God. And if you're in the image of God, the enemy, the dragon, has been warring against you since the moment you were conceived. You know, some of you, he tried to abuse you. Some of you tried to addict you. Some of you tried to crush you. Some, you know, on and on and on, keep you from God, you know, defile you, enslave you. Well, you know what? You know, we're all in this war. And if you're in a war and you don't know you're in a war, you're not going to win the war. And so the last part of the dragon's prophecy is how do we know, how do we overcome? Can we overcome? The answer is yes. And the thing is, I know, Doug, I'm kind of rushing to, because I want to
get to this. No, I love this. You're going right into my questions, because I love to leave people with encouragement. And you, in your book, you provide people with encouragement, the calling and charge, about the mystery,
yes,
the prophecy. So, yes. And it affects everyone listening and watching this now. So continue, sir.
Yeah, the thing is, in the book of Revelation, it's not just the dragon, you have a lamb, you know, and the lamb represents the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua. And so the thing is, you know, the amazing, if you have a dragon fighting a lamb, most people put their bets on a dragon, but the lamb wins. You know, evil always comes like a dragon. It comes fierce. It comes overwhelming. You know, good comes like a lamb. It's the underdog. It doesn't look like it's going to win, but it wins. In the end, you know, it's interesting because, you know, a dragon is reptilian. That's cold-blooded. And reptiles can't last. They don't have perseverance. They can't last long. Evil rages, but it can't last long. But the lamb is warm-blooded. Goodness lasts forever. There's no end. So in the end, we win. It may look overwhelming against the lamb, but he wins. You know, he wins. He was crucified. He rose again. And the thing is that if you follow the Lamb, and if you're not born again, you got to be born again. If you follow the Lamb, you're going to win. You know, it says, it's the same, vision is where that word comes, that awesome word. It says, but they overcame him by the blood. They overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb. So listen, we overcome. The word overcome is nakao, which is amazing because it means to prevail and conquer and win. But it's written of the future in the past tense. In other words, it's as good as done. The victory is as good as done. The thing is, you got to fight. If you don't fight, you don't win. But you got to fight. And so one of the things I have in the book is called The Mystery of the Secret Israelis. And this is a little strategy, because what are the strategies of the enemy against us, and what are the strategies God gives us? The Israelis, you know, if you're born again, you're not just a spiritual Israelite, you're a spiritual Israeli. And so what do the Israelis teach us? In the natural, when they came back, they had to learn how to fight. If they didn't fight, they would be destroyed. They had to learn. They end up becoming among the greatest fighters in the world. Well, you know what? That's a sign for us. We are the spiritual Israelis. We have to become warriors, fighters in the end times, which means you don't accept what the enemy wants to do to you. You don't accept what the enemy wants to do to your culture, what he wants to do to your home, what he wants to do around you, what he wants to do in you. You don't accept it. You fight back. If you fight the fight, you're going to win. That's the promise. You're going to win the war.
But you've got to fight. And like all great works of Jonathan Cahn, the book is very serious, but and lays out the historical, current, and prophetic timeline. But it also provides that necessary encouragement, that spiritual enrichment that I so desire and find in his books, especially The Dragon's Prophecy. Folks, please, don't just buy one, buy two, and send one to someone who needs this, both the information and the inspiration. Jonathan Cahn, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being a good friend I love your brother. I appreciate your work, and let's do this again soon.
Oh, thank you, Doug. It's an honor and a joy. I feel the same way. Stay strong. We'll circle back. And everybody, right, be strong, and God bless you, Doug.
Folks, that'll do it. This special report, the Hagman Report, Jonathan Kahn, just a tremendous writer, tremendous author, and one that can lead you through the current events, especially in this latest book, The Dragon's Prophecy. Thank you for tuning in. God bless.